1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
On our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, it is really pleasing to talk about something that's warm weather related and spring and summer and talking baseball today. Chris Clerkin is here, who is the director of the upcoming Richland Center Diamond Club, which is organizing right now. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Phil. How are you?
Not bad. You probably talk and think baseball like year-round, don't you?
It's sports year-round. You know, I never get a break from, you know, baseball, from football, from, you know, dealing with my kids, doing wrestling. You know, you call it whatever sports out there, my kids are in it, and I'm always thinking about it. So
that's good. That's old school. Three sports and through the year and everything. But right now you're looking ahead at baseball, and tell me about what you're looking at organizing.
Yeah, so this year, brand new, we're going to bring to the community. We're calling it RC Diamond Club. Basically, it's a youth baseball. We're going to deal with 5th, 6th grade, and then 7th and 8th grade to create. Basically, a group of kids that do tournaments. These are going to be much bigger tournaments, so we're going to have higher competition. We're going to look to really focus on improving skills, knowledge of the game, and basically just produce better products that we can send up to the high school.
I know you're modeling it after some other communities that you've been a part of and you have seen, and I think Dodgeville is one of those. I know you know a little bit about. They've had a good thing going for a while, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I come from Dodgeville, so I kind of stay in touch with a lot of the coaches there. Pat Riley's a big one. He's basically Mr. Baseball in Dodgeville.
Yes, he is.
excuse me. But basically, they have a diamond club there. They put some incredible groups together through their diamond club. They're running tournaments from 8 and under all the way up until 14 and under, and then they get to high school. And we can tell at the high school when we play Dodgeville, they have some pretty darn good baseball players there.
They are ready to go, aren't they?
Yeah, we kind of want to replicate that sort of system here. Hopefully that can, you know, produce better product that we can bring into the high school and, you know, be more competitive.
One of the things with high school now and, you know, a few years ago, the rules on pitching, you know, and the pitch count, when that came into play, it really forces you to have a lot of different players that can pitch, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's getting to a point now where, you know, you kind of want to have every kid try and pitch, you know, and we know some kids that, you know, are younger are going to struggle a little bit when they start, but it's always nice to see when kids start to figure it out and can start throwing strikes and throwing hard and just contribute to the game. So it's nice to see, you know, we have 9-10 pitchers on the team.
And I think the other thing that, Chris, you want to look at is, you know, safety is key. So you want to make sure they're doing the right thing, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we can teach them, you know, proper form, you know, get to know their bodies the best way possible to know when, you know, I'm getting tired, you know, I have to communicate that with the coach. But if we can get them throwing the ball better, hitting the ball better, you know, everything just, it all circulates there. So,
and I think not only training for the players, but you're looking at training coaches too, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So a big thing that we want to do, this is very similar to what we do in the football program. Basically, we're going to take coaches and we're going to have them be mentored by the high school coaches. So we want them, you know, whoever decides that they want to help coach these two teams, we're going to bring them up. You know, we have a bunch of open gyms. We have some preseason practices that we'll be inside for, obviously, because, you know, there's 3 feet of snow outside right now. But we want them to be part of our staff. You know, we want them to see how we do it, how we engage with the kids, basically what we teach them. You know, with the three coaches we have at the varsity level, with myself, Ryan Lemke, and then Eddie Tabor, we all mesh together really well. You know, we're a dynamic trio on the varsity group, and Lemke is basically our pitching coach, and he's very knowledgeable in that. So I'm a catcher for a long time, so I deal with the catchers, and, you know, me and Lemke work well together, you know, with how we're teaching the kids how to throw, how to catch. And Eddie's just, you know, Eddie's an old military guy who doesn't put up with anything, and he's very strict with the kids, and you know, expects discipline out of the kids and how they play the game. So, you know, if they can pick up little things from all three of us, you know, and how we teach the game, that's kind of what we're looking for.
I think there's a fine line, you know, because one of the main reasons kids do sports is they want to have fun too. So you got to want to have that discipline, but you also want to have the fun aspect too, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is one thing that I do during football. You know, during games when we're down and you ask the kids, like, is this very fun right now? You know, and most of them will go, obviously not, you know. So if we're teaching them the right skills, we're teaching them how to win, we're teaching them how to compete. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, the score should reflect that. And if we're winning, then we're having fun. So you need to have the basics in there. You need to lay the groundwork. They need to know how to compete, how to win, and that's when we start having fun. So practice is going to be a big part of that.
So you'll start that, fairly soon then, when you get it organized? Or?
Registration we have up on our Facebook page. It's under Richland Center Diamond Club. Right now, the registration is going to be due April 1st. So once we get all the players in, and registered, we're going to start probably about May. We'll have to do some indoor work to start. We'll find locations to be at to start. But hopefully then when it starts getting nice out, you know, we have a couple locations we can use. Hopefully we'll be able to use North Park as much as we can. But then we can use the high school fields as well if it's needed. But hopefully we can keep everything in North Park.
If a player plays in another league in the area, can they still be a part of this?
I'm not sure how that's going to work how that's going to look yet. So basically the structure I want to put forth within this program is that we're going to practice 3 to 4 times a week, depending on how we do within tournament play. Because some of these tournaments can last almost 3 days. So most tournaments will usually start Friday afternoons or Sunday or Saturday mornings. So we kind of want to give maybe a little bit of travel time on Fridays if we can. So we usually won't practice Fridays, but I'm looking to have a very intense week of practice. I don't like downtime. I want kids out there. I want them playing. I want them having fun, learning. So we're gonna practice quite a bit throughout the week. So if it does work in their schedule, that they can commit to our program, and if they want to do another one, by all means, I'm not going to hold them back. More baseball, you know, the better. So,
And I think you want good numbers because obviously people have vacations and weekend commitments and things like that too.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's obviously a struggle with every sport that you deal with. But we want good numbers. We want as many kids out as we can. You know, if we get a great turnout for both groups and we have 20 plus kids, we'll make two teams. You know, I'm not gonna turn a kid away. We want everyone that wants to learn baseball, we'll teach them. So hopefully we have good numbers to where that if some people do have to miss for vacations or whatnot, that we'll still be fine.
It doesn't sound like playing time is going to be an issue because you're going to be playing a number of games. You'll have plenty of spaces,
yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah, so we're looking, I think right now, with the way they have it set up in town here, they're only playing anywhere between 12 to 15 games a summer, which is not very much. You know, when you only get maybe 3 at-bats, you know, per game, that's not a high number that you're getting over the summer. So we want to increase that. Right now, my goal is to get 6 tournaments for the 12 and U, which is a 3 to 4 game minimum per game, or per tournament. And for the 14U, we're going to look to get 8 tournaments in over the summer. So it's going to be a lot of games, a lot of time learning and kind of sculpting your craft a little bit. So, yeah, we're going to get a lot more games in this summer for the kids.
So if a young player comes in, Chris, do they get a chance to play different positions and kind of maybe do what, you know, maybe they want to play a certain position, but maybe you can encourage them to play another. They probably get opportunities, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing with youth sports is you never technically know where you're going to play yet, you know, because I was a left fielder, right fielder when I was younger. You know, I wasn't too interested in it. I took a little break in the youth level when I was younger. And then I started freshman year of high school. I wanted to be a catcher. And it turned out for probably the next 20 years, I was a catcher. So we're going to give it every kid an opportunity. If they want to play a position, you know, we'll try and give them the skill set to achieve at that position. And then, obviously, everyone's going to try and be a pitcher. You know, they may not get an option on that. We're going to, you know, throw everyone through the gauntlet with pitching. But if someone wants to play a position, we'll try them out there. We'll see how they do. We'll try and help them out as best as we can to get them ready for that position.
That's interesting. I didn't know when they gave you the catcher's mitt and told you to go squat behind the plate, but that's not always the easiest position.
No, it's not, especially when you're as big as I was. And, you know, I'm paying the toll with my knees and my shoulder right now. But it's, you know, if you find, you know, your thing, you know, just run with it.
Right.
That's exactly what I did.
I always think of catchers, and sometimes people overlook that, but the catcher has to know the game better than anyone, it seems.
Basically, the catcher is the quarterback,
right?
You know, on the field. So, you know, you have to know what's going to happen, what's, you know, possibly what scenario are we going to be in. You have to know outs the entire time that you're out there. You have to build a relationship with the umpire behind you. Because I can tell you from past experiences, if you're not very nice to them behind you, they won't be nice to you. So it's, you know, it's I want to say it's the most complicated position on the field because there's so many things going on in your own head as well as the game. So
yeah, those umpires appreciate catchers so they don't get hit. You know?
that was actually the one thing that they thanked me for at the end of the game was, you know, I'm such a big guy that usually balls don't get by me. So, you know, and that's, you know, I drill the high school kids in with that technique, you know, because I don't want, you know, the high school umpires to get hit because we want to keep them around as long as we can. But it's also good, you know, fundamentals that to teach them how to block a ball instead of being lazy and try and scoop the ball or pick it or, you know what I mean? So
baseball is such a fun sport, you know, and books have been written about it. But, you know, you could tell a lot of stories about those at that youth level, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's, you know, and right now that's, you know, I look back, you know, when I was younger, just the influences I had. With high schoolers coming down, hanging out. So during football, like I love to spend time with the youth. You know, you spend all year long prepping and dealing with high school football. And for me to get a chance to go down to the youth level, it always brings back the reason why I coach. It's for the love of the game. You get to see it, you know, a kid just, you know, triumph in whatever he's doing. Kind of gives you you know, a little bit more go and want to keep doing this. So when we can give back to the community with starting this, you know, 12U and 14U baseball club, basically I'm just looking to give opportunities to kids that haven't had that in the past. So
sometimes a player will stand out right away, you know, because you have your obvious, some athletes are ahead of others. I think the most joy as a coach is somebody that a project that comes along and all of a sudden, you know, the light bulb goes on and that's probably the most rewarding, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's and that's a big thing with catchers too, because a lot of kids just don't naturally pick up being a catcher or even a pitcher, you know, but in order to have them succeed in what they're doing, a lot of teaching goes into that. And once it starts clicking for the kids, it's really rewarding to see that And, you know, usually they like to smile when things go right. And that just, it goes right to your heart when you see that, you know, because they're putting in the hard work and you're trying to teach them as much as you can. And when they figure it out, it's just awesome. Awesome to see.
Are you planning on hosting any tournaments here in Richland Center, Chris?
We're not going to host any tournaments this year. But that is the goal, is to have a tournament here in which, you know, can pull baseball to this community. And we obviously have enough fields for it here in this town. So I would like to, you know, within the next couple of years to set something up, as long as we have good numbers consistently, that we can host a tournament here.
And that's great for local commerce too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we, you know, anything that's done at the high school, all the businesses in town benefit from it. You know, whether it's the wrestling, you know, invite that we have, you know, the alumni basketball game that was just brought into town this past weekend. Anytime we do anything with football in the summer, like we have a 7-on-7, we bring 12, 14 teams into town. All their parents come into town. So anytime that we can do that and help out businesses, we're going to do that, because they're the ones that we kind of rely on to get these things going through sponsorships and stuff like that. So we want to give back as much as we can to those businesses as well.
I had a trip to Cooperstown, New York a few years ago, and to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But what stands out is the number of diamonds in that town. So they must have tournaments like all the time through the summer.
I can imagine, yeah.
Like, I mean, you could fall down and hit your head on a backstop, and they were all over the place.
Yeah.
So that whole town is built around youth baseball,
yep.
I think.
I'm really looking forward to getting that going. You know, that's going to be basically my main project after getting this started, is starting a tournament here. So, we're not going to shy away from doing something new and something bigger. So, yeah.
So Richland Center Diamond Club, are you doing some fundraising, Chris?
We're not going to do any fundraising, right now. Obviously it's too cold out to have a cookout. But that's usually our go-to thing, is to do a cookout. We are going to plan on doing one for the high school, when it does get nice out. Usually about when the season starts, you know, we're a game or two in, and we, get some nice weather and, start doing a fundraiser. But that will be a, part of the plan, going forward with our kids. We'll look to do fundraising options, so that way we don't have to necessarily rely totally on sponsorships to make sure that this keeps going. So in the near future, we'll put stuff up on our Facebook page as far as what fundraisers we'll be doing. But as of right now, we're just going to be looking at getting sponsorships.
On that Facebook page, people can find out information about how to register or who to contact and things like
that? Yes, absolutely. So on Facebook, it's under Richland Center Diamond Club. Right now, we have our registration form up there. Once I have enough registrations in, and we can for sure have two different teams, we'll put a schedule up as soon as I can get that finalized. Other information as far as uniforms, you know, travel plans, that kind of thing, we'll keep them updated and knowledgeable on how the season will look. So. Right now, we're just at the very beginning of everything, so I don't have anything else besides the registration form up there right now. So if you guys have any questions, my phone number is on the page, as well as the email address, which is just richlandcenterdiamondclub@gmail.com. So go ahead and send me a message, give me a call, you know, whatever. I'm free 24/7, basically. So, if you have any questions as far as that goes, I'm all ears.
You were here last year talking about football and getting that going, mm-hmm. and I haven't had a chance to ask you since then, but how did youth football go?
Youth football went great this year. So we took over the 5th and 6th grade tackle program. We got into a league that's based out of Cross Plains, and those guys put together a great program there. So they area teams that are in there is basketball, River Valley, team out of Cross Plains, New Glarus. So we initially had, I want to say 10 kids on the 5th grade group and 9 kids on the 6th grade group, which is at the very minimum you want to have for an 8-man football league. But these kids played their hearts out. The fifth grade group, unfortunately, didn't win a game this year. But the progress that I saw from the very first game that they played to the last game, which was a bitter, cold, rainy night, just absolutely horrible. But they played like they have been playing for 5-6 years at that point. So their progress was great. Sixth grade group, unbelievable. They went undefeated. Every single game that they were in, they competed as hard as possible against teams that had, you know, I want to say probably 14 to 18 kids. Most of the time when they were down here and I was watching, doing the scoreboard and the clock, the opposing team would have a group for offense and then they have a group for defense. So they had enough kids to be able to run two different squads. Well, we only have 9 kids. We have one sub. And they're playing and they're tackling, they're hitting hard, they're running as hard as possible, and they're winning football games. So the program itself turned out a lot better than I initially expected it to, which is how we were able to compete. But that really relies upon good coaching. And we had 4 great coaches this year. Everyone kind of, you know, a couple of them are from Jones's where I used to work, and they did a fantastic job. And then the other two, one was a brother to one of the players, younger kid, which is nice to mix in, you know, kind of the older guys with the younger guys. And then we had another one who's actually a wrestling coach for the youth level. He came out and helped out. And boy, I tell you, all 4 of them did a great job on, you know, not only, increasing their skill level and love of the game, but just, you know, a true love of playing football, getting, you know, motivating them to, you know, go harder every practice, every game, and just they did a great job. And then as far as the flag football goes, we saw nearly a double increase in the number of kids that were out. I think we started last year with, I want to say, 28 kids the year before, and this year we have 42 kids that came out. So it's increasing, and I love it. I want as many kids out as possible, and they're having fun when they're playing. So we get the high school kids out to hang out with them, ref games, and some of them actually ended up coaching a couple teams because the coaches were gone for that week. So it's always nice to get them down there and get them involved with the youth level as well.
Flag football is a sport that's kind of taken off at other levels too.
Yeah, it's, we're looking to, as far as the football program this spring, we're going to try and offer a 5th and 6th grade flag program. As long as the interest is there, we're going to try and do it. It's actually hosted in Sauk Prairie, I think. Yeah. But Troxel is the one that's leading that one. So they're trying to get that started. So we're trying to do sports year-round, basically, here. We're trying to give kids every opportunity possible to get involved with baseball, football, basketball, wrestling. We're not going to hold back on trying to get them out. So,
I think there are some states that have high school girls flag football. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the thing that continues to rise up. I mean, it's good training. Mm-hmm. Good training for like 7-on-7s. You know, it's a little bit more physical than 7-on-7 is, but it's just knowledge of the game. That's not nearly as rough as tackle football is. You know, there's going to be some collisions, but they try and keep that to a minimum. But, I mean, it's a fun game. I mean, now you're seeing it in the Pro Bowl.
Yes, you
know,
right.
Flag football in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, it's nice to see, you know, certain things take off within the sport. And, you know, we try and grab on and give every kid, you know, an opportunity as long as we can to get them in there.
And the other key is to keep them interested, Chris, and to see that progress all the way to the varsity level and keep them out. So you have to take some strides to keep them interested, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're, you know, one thing that, you know, we see not only in football but also in baseball is we want to have, you know, it's a bad kind of term to use, but, you know, we want better product coming into the high school level. Right now, you know, we saw that with football. We weren't getting, you know, the quality of kids in that should be. We didn't see the interest level. So, you know, naturally our instinct was to just take it over from kindergarten up through senior, so we can kind of control, you know, what they're being taught, what opportunities they have as far as what they can do through flag football, you know, tackle football programs. So we're, you know, we're trying to increase the skill level at an earlier age, but we're also trying to keep kids out. You know, that's with football, you know, with 40 kids out at the high school level, it's tough. It is really tough to run a varsity and a JV with 40 kids. JV struggles, you know, learning their skill set when a lot of times they run scout for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we have, even if we just had 10 more kids out, it would ease the burden for the JV to run scout and they actually get a practice in. With baseball, it's not that we're hurting with numbers, because I think we actually ended up having 12 or 13 freshmen come in last year. Really great number to start with a freshman group. You know, kind of gives you some leeway with pulling some sophomores up that maybe need some better experience up on varsity, some faster paced games, some more knowledge up at the varsity field. But the skill level is what we're trying to increase here. And I know the youth level right now was trying their best to get that done, but we're not getting the product that we wanted out of it. So we're going to – hopefully this will kind of change things and we'll get kids with better skill coming in as a freshman, you know, better knowledge of the game, that kind of thing. So I think mentoring with the high school coaches will take a big step in that.
So. Back in my day, you know, we didn't have that many opportunities, but I think in terms of knowledge of the game, me and all the kids,
yeah,
we listened and watched baseball all the time, so I think we had a general better knowledge than kids today.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the, you know, the big difference now is kids just aren't sitting watching baseball games. You know,
right.
They don't take, you know, Sundays, hometowns playing up at the field during the summer, and, you know, it'd be a good thing and a great thing if we can transform that into, you know, everyone goes up there and watches baseball games.
Right.
You know, back when I was playing for Dodgeville, oh, Christ, I want to say close to 6-7 years ago when I finally ended up, you know, quitting. I mean, we had hundreds of people, you know, that would come out. We had high school kids come up. Youth were up there. So many parents were just lying left field, and the stands were always full. You don't necessarily see that anymore, you know, so I think if we can bring the love of baseball back into town here, you know, get the youth out to watch as many baseball games as possible. And, you know, it would be, you know, during the summer when we were kids that we would just go down to the park and play. You know, it doesn't, you know, we didn't have to have practice. We didn't have to have games just to necessarily be out there to play.
Nothing organized.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You just go out there with your friends and, you know, hit the baseball, throw it around. So, yeah, hopefully we can bring that back into town here.
Sounds good.
That'd be nice.
Anything else you'd like to add today, Chris?
I don't. Basically, you know, if you guys have questions, all my contact info is on our Facebook page, our Richland Center Diamond Club. But, you know, if you guys can get on there, my phone number is 608-341-9571. Feel free to give me a call, send me a message. I'm all ears all the time. So, you know, whatever you got, I'll listen to.
Always fun to talk baseball, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you coming in today, Chris.
All right, thank you, Phil.
A breath of spring air here today.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we get the spring here early this year.
We hope so. Yeah, that's what I always say, because we had a late start to winter. I want to be out broadcasting baseball in late March.
Yeah.
I don't want that snow, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, man, the first couple weeks of baseball always eats at your soul because you're inside doing drill work, and that's just not fun with baseball. You want to get outside as early as you can. You want to do stuff outside.
Yeah, and it's hard. I know you're going through the motions and the players are kind of getting into the repetition of, of it, but it isn't the same as being outside.
It's not the same at all. You know, it's just it's a different feeling when you're outside playing baseball like it should be.
Yeah. So. Well, good luck with your events here.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Chris Clerkin joining us, director of Richland Center Diamond Club on the morning show. We're going to continue to talk a little sports. We're going to talk about a Packer fan, or we should say a fanatic, but a chance to be in the Packer Fan Hall of Fame. That story is coming up on the morning show.
604-7751. That's Jamie Johnson at 604-7751. Or find me on Facebook. Whether you're looking to jumpstart your weight loss, looking to lose a lot of weight, or get active and gain muscle, our program offers it all across the spectrum. We now even support those who receive the shot for medically supported weight loss. Reach out before January 31st for personal scholarships.
News at 6:30 is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast calls for 14 for a high today. Tonight, looks like some light snow could be on the way. Varying amounts, probably about a half inch of snow in our immediate area and a low of -1. That's where we're at right now. 1 degree below zero.
Is being overly comfortable even possible? It's worth finding out in the Movie Man Large Scale Recliner. The generous seat and the tall back are specially crafted to provide extra support and comfort for broader and tall individuals. MAC rated for 400 pounds, you can get this recliner today for only $549 at Court and Main for our winter sales event happening now through February 9th at Court and Main in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. The Southwest Tech campus is closed today for septic repair. There will be remote learning and staff will be available remotely. And a reminder, the mobile food pantry that was supposed to be held today at Eagle School in Richland Center has been canceled. It will not be rescheduled for January. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the Senate this week would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. The Senate also approved a nearly $80 million federal grant to cover most of the cost of building new EV chargers. The 21st annual Walk with Grace will be held in August. Planning for the walk will begin tonight at 6 o'clock at the Grace office. Walk Chair June Nee invites all of those interested in being a part of the planning to attend. There is a need for a recruitment chairperson. If you or someone you know may be interested in this position or finding out more, please contact June Nee to let her know. Please put on your thinking caps for theme ideas, kickoff, and ways to make the 21st year of Grace very memorable. Everyone is invited to the meeting tonight at 6 at the Grace office above Royal Bank. Also encouraging you to invite anyone you know who would like to be a part of Walk with Grace, which this year will be held on Friday, August 9th. Property tax payments are due on the last day of the month. If your municipality allows you to pay by installments, the first installment needs to be paid in full on or before January 31st to your local treasurer. Payments must be postmarked no later than January 31st to avoid delinquency status and possible additional charges. Also, e-filing can get underway now.
IRS spokesman Christopher Miller says the IRS will formally start accepting returns at the end of January, but you can get your e-filing done right now.
And in that case, your tax return will simply be held until it can be submitted to the IRS at the end of the month.
If you're intending to use the IRS free file program, be sure to start on IRS.gov and follow the links from there to ensure you're not going to be charged by whichever tax program you're using. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Members of the Richland, Iowa Grant Drug Task Force made an arrest earlier this month. Nicholas J. Forbes, 29, of Platteville, was arrested during a traffic stop near the city of Mineral Point in Iowa County on an outstanding arrest warrant through probation and parole. During the arrest, methamphetamine was located on his person. Nicholas will have a charge of possession referred to the Iowa County District Attorney's Office. Detectives later searched his apartment in the city of Platteville. As a result, more methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia was located. As a result of this case, Nicholas Forbes will have charges referred to the Grant County District Attorney's Office. The charges are possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a drug trafficking house, and 4 counts of soliciting a prostitute. Tiffany Chandler, 28, of Platteville, lives in the same apartment and is also on probation. As a result of the investigation, Chandler will have charges referred to the Grant County District Attorney's Office. They include possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, possession of fentanyl, possession of drug paraphernalia, and maintaining a drug trafficking house.
A Red Cross blood drive was held this week in Muscadet. 72 units of blood, including 16 double red cell donations, were collected. Registration volunteers were Tobiah Frazier, along with Asher Frazier, Kate Frazier, and Jackie Schmenick. Pleasant Valley Mennonite Church served refreshments, including homemade baked goods. The next Muscadet community blood drive will be held Tuesday, March 19th, from 11:30 until 5:30 at St. John's Gym. A national Democratic law firm has asked the liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court to throw out the battleground state's congressional maps, arguing that the court's decision last month ordering a new state legislative maps opens the door to the latest challenge. The redistricting lawsuit filed Tuesday by the Elias Law Group on behalf of Democratic voters comes less than a month after the court threw out the state legislative maps. Consultants hired by the court are now reviewing 7 proposed new maps. Litigation is ongoing in more than a dozen states over U.S. House and state legislative districts enacted after the 2020 census. A decision on a Kenosha casino is made in the wee hours of Wednesday morning. After a contentious debate, the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors approved an intergovernmental plan for a new casino and hotel project. The partners in the venture, the Menominee Tribe and Hard Rock International, say the project would create 1,000 new construction jobs, employ 1,000 people, and bring hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact to the surrounding area. The plan now moves on to the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs and Governor Tony Evers for their approval. Music headliners are named for this summer's Harley-Davidson Homecoming Festival. The celebration, happening from July 25th through the 28th, will have the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jelly Roll, and Hardy performing at Veterans Park on Milwaukee's lakefront. Other musical acts and a variety of free and ticketed events will happen at several venues around the Milwaukee area. Advance ticket sales start today. Complete details on the festival can be found at hdhomecoming.com. where you can also sign up for those homecoming updates.
Looking for a good career choice? Then check out these reasons for making Pine Valley Community Village your choice for a new job. Starting with reason number 5, reputation. Pine Valley is a 5-star facility. It has served Richland County residents for over 140 years with exceptional care and now has a new facility to complement its great care. Reputation. One more reason to make working at Pine Valley your choice for a new career. Log on pinevalleycommunity.org and click on careers.
Today, a high of 14 degrees, increasingly cloudy and chilly conditions. North winds at 4 to 8 miles per hour will become variable. Cloudy tonight, light snow likely, and looks like maybe some varying amounts, around a half inch in our immediate area and 1 to 2 inches as you head toward the south. Also, it looks like Friday will be up to around 13, a low of 4 below on Friday night. Saturday, a high of 10 with sunshine, and Sunday, partly cloudy and turning breezy with a high of 20. Monday, 32, with a 40% chance of a light wintry mix overnight. In Richland Center, it was 16 yesterday. We were at 13 at midnight. And from there, we actually not registering any wind chill to factor in this morning, but it is still cold. Our temperature is 1 degree below zero. Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look at the high school schedule coming up. It was a difficult game last night for the Milwaukee Bucks as well. Those stories and more after this.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
High school sports tonight in boys basketball. Cooley Christian will play at Weston. Also, Ithaca will be at Seneca. For a makeup game, Cassville at DeSoto, Wautoma at Mauston, Nisida at Wonewoc Center, Brookwood goes to New Lisbon, Royal at Hillsborough, and Cashton at Bangor. Wisconsin Dells travels to Nakusa, Westby at Kickapoo, and also tonight, North Crawford will be at Southwestern. In girls basketball, Schulzberg at Potosi Cassville, Iowa Grant visits Mineral Point, Darlington is at Riverdale, and Southwestern at Boscobel, Baraboo at Portage, River Ridge at Belmont. Wazika Steuben travels to North Crawford. And in the Southwest Conference girls basketball tonight, Prairie du Chien at Platteville, Lancaster visits Dodgeville, and River Valley at Richland Center, which we'll have on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. The Ventesny Power Sports pregame show begins around 7:15. Richland Sports Medicine, in conjunction with the Richland Hospital, have announced their latest as far as the Athletes of the Month for the month of December 2023. Athletes of the Month, Kaylee Peterson of the Ithaca girls basketball team and Carson Kenyon of the Riverdale boys basketball team for showing fine leadership on and off the court. Kaylee Peterson and Carson Kenyon, the latest to be recognized as Athletes of the Month by Richland Sports Medicine. Last night in the WIAC men's basketball, River Falls was a winner over Stevens Point, 72-56. Platteville defeated Whitewater, 77-73. La Crosse, 85. Oshkosh, 75. And Stout over Eau Claire, 83-74. The Cleveland Cavaliers simply dismantled the Bucks last night, who had to play without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee trailed by 20 in the first period and lost 135-95. Giannis sat out with a bruised shoulder, but is not expected to miss much time. His teammates needed to step up in his absence, but they did not seem to. Damian Lillard led the scoring with 17, but he hit only 7 of 20 shots, and Chris Middleton was 1 of 10. The game was the first of three between the two teams over the next 9 days. Milwaukee plays at Detroit on Saturday. In other NBA games, Golden State at Utah, that was postponed. Minnesota defeated Detroit, 124-117. Boston over San Antonio, 117-98. Toronto, 121. Miami, 97. Atlanta beat Orlando, 106-104. New York, 109. Houston, 94. New Orleans, 132. Charlotte, 112. The Lakers beat Dallas, 127-110. And Portland over Brooklyn, 105-103. Lucy Olson scored 37 points, including the last 8 of the game, and Villanova defeated number 22 Marquette, 66-63. Christina Dolce added 10 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 blocks. Marquette scored the first 7 points of the game, and Liza Carlin made a pair of free throws with 3:54 to play, which gave them the 63-56 lead, only the second time the lead reached 7, though the other team answered and went on for the victory. Villanova with the victory against the Marquette women's basketball team. Well, the National Weather Service is reporting there should be no weather problems for Saturday's game between the Packers and 49ers in the NFL playoffs divisional round. Two major storm systems are passing through the San Francisco area, but one will be gone by the time the game is played at 5:15 local time, and the other will come later. Temperatures are expected to be in the low 60s at Levi's Stadium. Weather experts say it still might be good if you're heading there for rain gear to be worn. Green Bay and San Francisco have met in the postseason 9 times, with the California team taking 5 of those. Coach Matt LaFleur talked this week about facing the Niners.
It's just a mindset for me. It's just whether you got a young team, a veteran team, all you're trying to do is continue to get better each and every day and focus on what's right in front of you. And I think that's where our focus has been, just trying to find different ways to push our guys. And our guys have shown up with a great mentality and mindset and willing to work.
And Mike McCarthy will get another chance to end a nearly 3-decade stretch without a deep playoff run for the Dallas Cowboys. Owner and general manager Jerry Jones says McCarthy will be back for a 5th season as coach after a stunning 48-32 wildcard loss to Green Bay. The Cowboys were the first number 2 seed to lose to the last team to get in since the 14-team format was adopted in 2020. They haven't been past the divisional round since the 1995 season. Also in sports, baseball fans wanting to watch the Brewers play ball will find themselves needing to get an Amazon Prime membership to see the games. The New York Post is reporting Milwaukee is among five major league teams whose games will be streamed exclusively on Prime. Membership costs $14.99 a month. Regional sports networks have had major issues for the last year. This would be the first time Amazon Prime has entered the regional sports network business. It is possible there would be additional charge added to the membership cost, but that has not been determined yet. I'm Phil Lee with sports.
What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool.
On the WRC morning show, we have a rare opportunity to talk to someone who is nominated for the Packers Fan Hall of Fame. As we say good morning to Angela Kimmel. Good morning, Angela.
Hi, good morning, Phil.
Good to have you on here. So tell us a little bit about your story and how you became a fan of the green and gold.
Yeah, so I was raised in a family that was a very passionate Green Bay Packer family. I have many fond childhood memories watching games with my dad and my grandfather. I also have a lot of fond memories growing up traveling to games. Going to games because I'm from southeastern Wisconsin. I got to go to games when the Packers used to play at County Stadium with my dad and also travel up to Lambeau Field. And then as I progressed in my training and moved out of state, I trained to be a psychologist. That's when I really traveled to see the Packers play. I got to see them play in South Florida, in Tampa, in Atlanta on the road to their Super Bowl victory, and then in around the Midwest where I live right now in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Cleveland.
Those are some really good areas for pro football. How does it feel to be a Packer fan in some of those enemy territories?
So the good news is I've never lived in a city that's been a strong rival of the Packers. And the Packers are very well thought of around the country. There's a lot of Packer fans wherever I've gone.
How did it come to be that you were nominated for the Packers Fan Hall of Fame, Angela?
So a good friend of mine, Jen Nagy, who is also from a passionate Packer fan family, she drafted my nomination statement. So she felt she's, you know, been my friend for years and has heard about me traveling to all the Packer games. I've been at some very notable games. I made it to Brett Favre's last game at Lambeau Field. I traveled to see Brett Favre get inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame. So she'd heard these stories over the years, but she was really impressed. I got married in September, and we had a Lambeau Leap at our wedding in Cleveland. My husband and I got married in Cleveland, and I wanted to incorporate something Wisconsin-like because I wasn't able to get married back in my home state. So we came up with this idea, rather than the wedding guests clicking on the glasses when they wanted the bride and groom to kiss, I proposed that we have them do a Lambeau Leap. So we got the DJs involved with the Todd Rundgren Bang on the Drum All Day song. They brought in green and gold lights. And then we built like a end zone out of like bleachers and padding. And then we had a crowd background. And so if you wanted, and we had cheese heads for people to wear and signs that said, like, Leap Here, Frozen Tundra, or Burst, Go Pack Go. And so if you wanted my husband and I to kiss, you had to do this Lambeau Leap. So little did we know, but this became the hit of the wedding. Before we knew it, there was a line of people who wanted to all do the Lambeau Leap. So they brought the Lambeau Leap, and then we also had the fake AstroTurf. They brought the Lambeau Leap out in the middle of the dance floor, and different groups of people took pictures with my husband and I, everyone doing the Lambeau Leap. So it was just a wonderful way to spread Packer spirit. I've never celebrated so many Packer touchdowns in my life, and I'll fondly remember my wedding day for that. So anyways, it was such a fun, I mean, we had Browns fans, Patriots fans, Ravens fans, like all sorts of different NFL fans doing the Lambeau Leap for the first time. So when Jen saw this, she was like, this is so awesome. This is so unique. So that was in my nomination statement. So I've not heard how many people were nominated this year. I've heard in the past, it's been in the hundreds. These are the Packer accomplishments that I believe led to me being selected as a finalist.
Well, a couple of things in the background. Jen is originally from Richland Center, so that's our connection with you. We appreciate that. And we also want to encourage people that are listening to WRCO, they can still vote for you and help you out, can't they?
Yes. That would be wonderful. You can vote at Packers.com under the fan tab, and you can read the nomination statement that Jen drafted. You can vote once every day. Till the end of the month.
Well, have you read any of the bios on the other fans that you're going up against?
I had. The competition is stiff. a lot of accomplished Packer fans. I was very impressed by things other people have done as I was reading the other nominations.
So what do you think might put you over the top?
Put me over the top is just the uniqueness of what I did. I think the Lambeau Leap brings up a lot of like warm and special memories for Packer fans. I think it's a point of pride. And the Lambeau Leap is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's good tie-in. Well, let me ask you about some of the games that you have watched. You've seen some pretty significant games. Is there one that's number one on your list, though?
Ooh. I will always remember going to Brett Favre's last game at Lambeau Field. So I was flying around the country for my psychology internship selection process. And so I was flying from Boston. I was planning to go home to Fort Lauderdale, but then when the Packers advanced in the playoffs, I rerouted my flight. Atlanta got hit by a snowstorm and I got stuck there overnight. I had to advocate to get on a very early flight the next day. And then, my family picked me up at the airport with my Lambeau Field winter gear, and we made it to the game in time for kickoff. But I will always remember the crowd chanting, like, four more years, because we wanted Brett to return, of course. So that is a favorite memory. And then I also will always fondly remember seeing Brett Favre getting inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Chris Berman was the host of that event, and there were so many Packer fans there that day chanting, go Pack, go, go Pack, go. He said, am I at Lambeau Field or am I in Canton, Ohio? And it's so cool that the Packer fans are just such a strong group. We're well-traveled, we're passionate, and it's such a cool group to belong to.
Have you ever met Brett Favre?
I have not. Maybe one of these days. Mm-hmm. But no, I've never met Brett Favre.
What about some other Packers?
The only Packer player I have ever met, I met Antonio Freeman. I went to grad school in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he had signed with the Dolphins. So I went to one of their practices. And the punter gave me a football, so I use a wheelchair, and the wheelchair seating was very close to the field. So as the punter was jogging off, he gave me a football, and the usher asked, which player do you want to meet? And I was like, I want to meet Antonio Freeman. And the usher was like, huh? Because Antonio Freeman had just signed. He was not like a local fan favorite. And so his reaction was, no one asked to meet Antonio Freeman, but Antonio Freeman was so tickled that a Packer fan was there and eager to meet him.
Oh, that is great. Have you ever thought about putting down some notes for a book sometime?
Ah, I hadn't thought of that, but that would be cool. I do have a lot of, like, stories of, challenges and adversity and, like, triumphs that I've gone to try to get to these games. That's a great idea, Phil.
Well, maybe someday, that's for sure. And so you're kind of, someone who could be in the Fan Hall of Fame. What does it entail if you do make it, if you are chosen? What are some of the things you get?
Yeah. So by far, for me, the biggest benefit would be it's a huge honor. Being a Green Bay Packer fan is definitely a part of my identity. I have so many positive experiences and memories associated with being a Packer fan. And so by far, and another thing is, like, it is an honor even just to make it this far and be a finalist. So by far the biggest benefit for me would be the honor itself. Those who are selected to be in the Hall of Fame have their name on a plaque in the Packer Hall of Fame. And if you read the people who have been selected in the past, it is a very diverse group. And so it would be an honor to be in that group. But as far as, like, tangible prizes, the Packers do give you 4 club seats to a game in this year. They give you field sideline passes, which would be awesome. I've never been on the field at Lambeau. I think you get a subscription to PackerNews.com and a gift card to the pro shop. So things that would really just be wonderful for a Packer fan.
So who is your favorite player of all time?
Oh, easily Brett Favre.
And why?
So I really admired Brett's grit. Remember the streak in how he started all those consecutive games, a streak that I don't think will ever be broken by another active NFL player. So I loved his stubbornness, his determination. And then I also like how he played through adversity. I'll never forget that night in December in 2001 when he had to play, like, right after his dad died. Against the old Monday Night Football, the Oakland Raiders game. So by far, Brett Favre, definitely one of my favorite players. But I also am partial to, like, the wide receivers, the playmakers. So, like, I've also really loved, like, Jordy Nelson. And the current young receiving corps is a very cool group.
One other thing I was going to ask you about, what does your voicemail sound like? Do you have a message
So for years, my voicemail used to say, that's in my nomination statement. So for many years, I would say, hi, you've reached the voicemail to Angela Kimmel right now. I am not available to take your call. Any calls regarding the Green Bay Packers will be prioritized and promptly returned. So it was a lot of fun because even people who had no association with the Packers, like, they might have been calling from a doctor's office and they would say, like, go Packers, like, boo Bears, you know, like, even just to, like, so it made listening to my voicemail a lot of fun.
Well, we hope some folks in Southwest Wisconsin will take your story to heart and maybe go on the Packer website and vote for you. Anything else you'd like to add today, Angela?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool thing. You know, the Packers are the only team in professional sports that have a Hall of Fame to honor the fans. And so I hope that Packer fans even take this contest as a matter of pride and that they cast their votes. Because there's nothing else in sports like it. I hope that everyone takes pride in our history, that we're the only team in professional sports that's owned by the community, That we have a season ticket waiting list that is like thousands of fans long. And just as someone that has moved all over the country, like Packer fans are just unique and special. So yeah, I hope everyone gets out there and votes or vote, you know, you don't have to get out there, but votes online because this is just a really neat contest.
Angela Kimmel, it's spelled K-U-E-M-M-E-L. Look for her name there on the Packer website, Packers Fan Hall of Fame nominee. And I hope, Angela, we can say, hey, we know her when you win it all.
Oh,